Welcome back. This is Robert Fleming, one of the partners in the Tucson, Arizona elder law firm of Fleming & Curdy PLC. Elizabeth Noble Rawlings Freeman, the other partner in that august firm, is sitting across from me. Elizabeth, welcome back.
Hi, Robert.
And welcome, listeners, to Elder Law Issues, our weekly podcast on issues about elder law. We kind of gave it away with the name of the podcast, I guess. Elizabeth, we have talked before about why it is we ask all of this information from clients when they come to see us about their estate planning and also about administration of an estate after the death or disability of a family member. I want to revisit that a little bit because we've had recent conversations with clients that kind of point up why it is we need so much detail. Why do we need to know not just that you have money at a given brokerage, but how the account is titled and whether it's a retirement account and whether you inherited the money and how much is in there? And that's all we need, all that, so we can decide how to set the fee, right? Because we're going to charge you more money if there's more in your brokerage account.
No, Robert, we need the information so that we can give legal advice that is both relevant and accurate. And so when we talk about gathering information, most people are familiar with our estate planning questionnaire, which goes into all sorts of different types of questions and solicits information about not only how old you are and where you live, but the types of assets that you have. But we also try and solicit this information and get background when we give advice about administering estates. So if we meet with somebody who is a personal representative or a successor trustee, we want this information so that we can see the big picture. And if we can't see the big picture, then what happens is we are giving information that really might not be relevant, or it might not be accurate.
Or it might not be the best information. If, for instance, you have a sizable portion of your estate in retirement accounts, the planning for your estate is going to be affected by the fact that it's retirement accounts. We need to have a conversation about which of your children, if you're going to leave everything to children, is the one that ought to receive more retirement account money. Is it fair and appropriate to just divide it equally among them? Or does the fact that there's tax associated with it hurt one of your children more than it hurts another of the children? If you're going to leave money to grandchildren or charities or anyone else, then maybe we want to use the retirement account money. Maybe if you have a lot of retirement account money, that could encourage you to use some of that to go to charities because it has a more powerful effect. And all of those questions also applied after you've died, when your son or daughter brings in the account statements to administer your estate. Are there still some things we could do about dividing up the estate? Well, it's really hard to tell if they only bring us part of the information.
And Robert, I think that what I try and explain to people in our initial consultation is you can leave the consultation, consider whether you want to move forward with the representation, and just know that I'm going to need more information to give you legal advice. So oftentimes in a consultation, Robert, somebody may give me limited, very high level, broad brushstrokes about the size of their estate, the types of assets that they have, or if they're administering an estate, they may give me general information about the beneficiaries and about the debts of the estate. But what I explain is if they do want to enter into an attorney-client relationship, then as part of that agreement, they're going to need to provide me with full information. And most of the time, Robert, people are fine with that. I see the biggest questions and concerns and hesitation come actually in the first 10 minutes of an initial consultation. You know, somebody may come very prepared. They might have old tax returns. They might have old bank statements. But, you know, they're kind of clutching their personal file across the table and really don't want to share information up front. I'm okay with that. That's initial consultations are an opportunity for people to get to know us and for us to get to know them. And if somebody is not comfortable at the end of the meeting sharing the full picture with me, whether we're talking about that person's estate plan or whether we're talking about how to administer a probate or collect information or assets in a trust distribution or administration, then I don't think we're a good fit. And I try and explain that, you know, it's okay with me if people want to dip their toe in and take some baby steps, but the end result needs to be I get the full information, period. Not in bits and spurts, but that moving forward, you provide full information.
And anybody who is that cautious about sharing information, I don't know about your experience, Elizabeth, but I am probably more insistent on getting more detail because I worry thereafter that they continue to hold things back, that they're not telling me all of the detail. Years ago, I remember doing an estate plan and then administering an estate later for an elderly couple who never mentioned to me that they owned an interest in the Empire State Building. And I would have behaved differently in the planning, and Lord knows it certainly complicated the administration of their estate to deal with I don't mean to overstate it, they didn't own like half of the building, but they owned an interest in an LLC that in turn owned, you know, 2% of the building or something. But that required a whole lot of additional steps that we thought we were done with when the information arrived. Oh, did we never tell you about Mom and Dad's interest in the Empire State Building? No, I kind of wish you'd told me before. I kind of wish your folks had told me, because we could have taken some steps to get that out of the probate estate had we known about it.
And Robert, I think we're talking about assets, but we may also be talking about family relationships. And so a tender and important nugget of information I need to know about is, if I'm doing your estate planning and a child of yours has died, I do need to know. And even if the child was a minor and not an adult at the time he or she died, that information's relevant. I need to know that because I want to make sure that as I do your estate planning, I address the issue. And even though you may be sensitive to how or whether we make a reference, that kind of tender personal information is also critically important. I think that the family relationship component of planning and administration is something I dive into immediately. I ask, how do your kids get along? Let's talk about the beneficiaries of your parents' estate. Do you get along with your sister? You know, I ask really pretty personal questions about family relationships. And Robert, in many cases, those are just as important as the questions that I'm asking about somebody's assets. And I'm asking the questions because I want to make sure that the advice I provide is actually really effective in the way that we move a plan forward and we exercise recommendations. As a fiduciary, when you're personal representative or an executor of an estate or a successor trustee, you've got a lot of liability. So it's good for me to know the ins and outs of various relationships. Please tell me if you loaned another beneficiary money. It's okay to tell me that you made a gift to the gardener when your mom died from the money in her wallet. That's okay. Just let me know up front so that I can really help provide you with recommendations and advice and a plan of action that not only helps you move forward with your responsibilities, but also reduces your exposure as a fiduciary. I mean, that's the other component when we're not talking about estate planning, Robert, but we're talking about estate administration.
The other one more in the estate planning context, but comes up in the administration too. People often tell me who the beneficiaries are on their retirement accounts, or that they have named an account as payable on death to somebody, and they're just wrong. It is surprising how often people think that they have done something. Maybe they once decided it needed to be done and they didn't get around to it, but they're in their memory they did it 7 years ago. So that's why we say it's not enough to tell us that you've left this account to your daughter and this account to your son. We need to see the actual beneficiary designation. And that's not something that is sent to you every month with your statements. You're going to have to go online or call up the bank or the brokerage house or the insurance company and get the actual beneficiary designation.
Well, Robert, thanks for reminding everybody out there that we're not just being nosy to be nosy. We really want to help you.
We really are trying to do a whole global picture, and we can't do that with fragmented information. So give it all to us, and then we'll laugh and cry with you about the foibles of your family and the history, and we'll give you better advice. I'm Robert Fleming. I've been chatting with Elizabeth Noble Rawlings Freeman, my partner in the Tucson, Arizona elder law firm of Fleming & Curdy PLC. This is Elder Law Issues. We invite you to come back next week. Talk to you then.